Hey, you guys.
Hey.
So here is the tea. We need you and your help because we can't do it alone. And it takes a village to make a podcast.
Yes. So we're really, really excited to let you guys in on an opportunity or two for you guys to work with us and get paid. No free work.
No.
So we are looking for some media gurus, I guess you could say.
Oh, yeah.
Someone who loves audio, someone who loves podcasting, someone who loves dating straight. We need you.
So basically what we're looking for is we're looking for a producer and an editor. So if you're like in college or just graduated college, please email us at datingstraightstr8@gmail.com with your resume and maybe like anything you've edited or just like projects you've worked on. And yeah, that's please. We would love to work with you, and we would love to work with like someone who already listens to the show, someone who knows us, and someone who thinks that they can help us take this pod like to the next level.
Yeah. So let's go, baby. Send your resumes again. That's dating STR and the number 8@gmail.com.
Yeah. Link also in the bio. Thanks. Enjoy the episode.
Amy.
Hey, Jack.
I'm gay.
Oh my God, that is so funny. I'm also gay. I was going to tell you.
Wait, really?
Yeah.
And you're listening to Dating Straight. Hey, Amy.
Hey, Jack. Hey, Miss Jay Alexander. Runway diva coach extraordinaire.
Crazy person.
We grew up watching America's Next Top Model. I remember seeing Kim Stoles in season 5 and being like, wow, she could get it. And I was 12. So this was like the first gay show that I saw, I think, that I can recall that wasn't like the Ellen DeGeneres show.
And Kim Stoles, yeah, that was really funny because there was a moment where she got upset with me because she said I should have known better because I'm gay about something that she was trying to do. Interesting.
When was that? What do you, on the show?
Yeah, I remember at one point, she said, come on, Miss J, you know, he's gay, so he should have known better than that. Something I thought that she should have been able to do. And I'm thinking like, in my head, I'm thinking, well, I don't think your sex really had anything to do with you, you know, doing the job. In my head, but something that happened, I remember her saying that. But I've seen her since then, of course. And it wasn't a mean thing, it was just something of me kind of going, girl, pull it together. And it may have been one of the teachers in a pair of high heels or something, like, girl.
Oh, yeah. I think there was something about how it was like Kim, whenever she got girly, she thought it was silly or something. And you said, like, it's not silly. It's like you just have to.
It was something, yeah, something. Yeah, see, so, oh, God, trigger that memory. And I don't drink and I don't smoke and I've never done drugs. So my memory is just kind of like, okay. But you talk about chiffon, lace, taffeta, silk tulle embroideries, kind of bias, like mouton sleeves, things like that. I remember those things.
It's priorities.
Yes.
Yeah, but it's really funny. ANTM, like Amy was saying, to me, it did sort of feel like, even though obviously it wasn't like a gay show about, you know, it's not like Queer Eye, right, where it's like a gay show, but it felt like a show that was on primetime television, and like every person watched it, and like we did have that queer representation through you, and through other Jay, and through some of the contestants, and it felt like it was so normalized for that time to have like amazing queer people. And that's why we're so, so excited to have you today. Just had to let you know.
You know, thank you, but because for me, it wasn't normal. For me, it wasn't normal. Right. And I never had an issue with who I was since birth. I mean, I came out of uterus being who I was. So, I mean, for me, it was just, I didn't think it was anything. I've been having issues. People say, you know, I've never been beaten up because I was gay, because I cross-dressed or dressed in drag. I just went through life just being and doing me. And that's why I was at my cameras with that. It's really like, you know, just be fierce, be fabulous, be and do you. And I just, it was normal for me. I'm number 7 of 10 kids.
Wow.
I grew up in the South Bronx in the hood. Mm-hmm. And for me, it was just me just being and doing me. I just did my thing, you know? So therefore, mm-hmm. all these struggles that people have coming out, I never had those struggles. I never had those stories. I don't have those being chased from school by boys because I was gay. It was like, because I'll whip your ass. I mean, I'm gay. I like to fight. So, I mean, it's a thing with me. But I've never had those issues with my sexuality on, oh my God. So it's just bizarre for me when people, I mean, I'm honored and I'm tickled when fans come up to me in the street and they say, oh my God, you know, you've been so, such an inspiration to me. And I'm kind of going, I accept it and I receive it and, mm-hmm. and I thank them. But in my head, I keep thinking it was probably more difficult for me to growing up gay than it is now. Mm-hmm. So what was I doing different? And I can't answer that question other than just being myself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure.
If it makes sense.
Yeah, no, it does.
Yeah. And I don't know if you guys are from a little small town. People can say, oh, that's because you come from New York City. No, but I lived up in the hood. Mm-hmm. And I would get on the subway train with a raccoon foxtail coat on. Mm-hmm. But I knew that I bought these scraps of raccoon tails, forgot for how much a tail, and I pinned them onto a coat to make it fashion. You know, I wear coochie cutters, I wear hot pants. I mean,
what's a coochie cutter?
Girl, call up the coochie cutters. Your shorts are so cut. Your shorts are so short they cut them in your coochie. and my shirts around my waist. I mean, I remember I went for a job, which is a really great story. People laugh about it. I went for a job. My friend Jennifer Brownlow, forget it. She said, "Let's go get a job for the Fresh Air Fund summer job." And I thought, yeah, because that way I can go buy my own school clothes and buy what I wanted. And I went down, big afro picked, and it was this perfect shape. And I wore the blue and white striped shirt tied at the waist, the coochie cutters, the jeans cut off short, and the Hercules sandals. And I kind of went in and I filled the application. And, you know, in the end, done. About 10 days later, Jennifer got the call to come down to fill out her information, her paperwork, because she got hired. She said, "Did you get the call?" I said, "No, I didn't get the call yet. Girl, I didn't get the call." She said, "Yeah," and I was maybe 15, 16. I said, "I didn't get the call." She said, "You didn't get it? So, well, I'm gonna go down and I'm going to ask them."
Oh.
They contact you, why? And she asked him, and the man said to her, "We didn't hire him." This could be my first taste of gay discrimination in a really odd, mm-hmm. off kind of way. He said, "We didn't hire him because we thought that he might be gay and the parents would get upset."
Hmm. Your parents would get upset?
Yeah, that they hired a gay counselor, you know, for the summer camp.
Oh, okay.
And then I said, as Ms. J does, "But I am gay."
Right, yeah. Yeah.
And I go, okay, well, fine. I went and applied for another job and got another job.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
But, you know, it was just really those really, like, huh, what? You think I am? Nothing. It's not a thought I am. It's just clear. I mean, hello.
Yeah.
I went in there kind of feeling my moment, you know, having that moment. And I've never experienced even that, which may be later in the show. I don't know if you edit how you do this, which you guys have to do, but knowingly, in Ireland, I experienced it going to a gay bar at 9:10 at night, and I was told they looked at me and said, "We're closed," and just shut the door.
A gay bar?
In Ireland.
Wow.
In Dublin. And then I experienced racism openly in home in Paris, going to the store, and a man being very angry that I came in and wouldn't let me try anything on. I just have to buy it. And that was a moment. But here in New York City, I really never really experienced anything knowingly, outwardly, that was like, oh, that's what that was? Because I just kind of, well, you know, la, 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 I just kind of go through.
Just didn't see it.
Yeah. Well,
Or chose to move past it or something.
Yeah.
Well, I think the thing that I chose to move past was that thing at summer camp. You know, that. But other than that, I've never experienced, never that I can remember going in not having any of those issues. Not that I would, there's nobody I would confront it. Mm-hmm. But other than that, I'm thinking like, well, and that I really haven't lived here in that bubble. I just, like I said, I just went through life just being a do-me child. So those things, it's nothing that I forgot. It's just that I never had that experience. I gave you my three experiences between Ireland, France, and not getting a job because a young teenager, they thought I was gay. No, mom, that's a thought, and I am, and that's it. But it wasn't an issue for me.
Right. Yeah, well, but I think that's also what is...
That's like why... Like,
exactly. I was going to say, I think like, yeah, like that's also how it should be. You know, like obviously we don't want like every gay like inspiration or whatever to like be the person who struggled. Like there's something empowering about like the gay person you look up to who's like powerful and like knows their self-worth and like won't let anyone get in their way, you know?
For sure.
You know, guys, I think for me it was a thing that it wasn't a gay thing. It was just that you didn't like me. Mm-hmm. I wasn't thinking then you didn't like me, because he said it wasn't, he was afraid of what the parents, like his, what the parents would say about me. Mm-hmm. And maybe now would be, if that would happen now, girl, there'd be like 3,000 people outside the damn fucking office of doors, right?
Absolutely.
I said people outside the door. But for me, it was kind of like, oh, well, you, and for me, I didn't take it as you didn't, it was the black thing, gay thing, you just didn't like me. You, they may not, because it wasn't, he said, you know, we're afraid of what their parents may say.
Right.
And I don't know, you know, no, child, please, bye. And that's what I said. Why must we, in my TV meeting last week, my thing is, I would like to do a show where it is for, not necessarily for the gay people who have maybe 3 to 5 positions in television. And we know what those positions are. Do we here? So we either decorators, hairdressers, clothing designers, makeup artists, hairstylists. Mm-hmm. But why can we have the gay congressman out there being the light, the garbage picker, the construction worker? They do exist. Why can't we have them brought to light for other gay people who don't want to do hair, makeup, design clothes, interior decorate, and things like that? Why can't we have something else that to mentor them, which I think can be difficult. And that only comes from people in the street asking me, how could I become this or that or the other? I'm not good at makeup. I'm not good at hair. I'm not good at, just go and do it. Just go apply for the job. Mm-hmm. Just go apply for the job, get information, research. Everything that goes viral is not true. Well, information for the madam, you know what I mean? Because people look at everything that goes viral, then that is the word. No, some things are just done that are kind of crazy, that are funny, that people get misinformed about. Mm-hmm. And I think young people today, we have so many more things to look at with people in our community, you know, to inspire them, to help guide them, to help lead them into other things. I want to be an architect, you know, I want to repair the elevator in the building, I want to be an electrician, but can I be gay and do that? Yes, you can. You don't have to be a hairdresser or a makeup artist or a fashion designer in order to have success and happy. So find your happy.
Definitely.
Well, I think what was so inspiring to someone like me is that being gay was not the central focus of like your personality. You were just a normal person who also happened to be gay. And that for me growing up was very powerful. So I think that's what we were trying to say.
Yeah, yeah, no. And you said it. Yeah, you said it. You were trying to say you said it. No. But I was kind of going to it because I stepped out of it and I just think of the things that have, you know, as I travel through life and travel around the world, the things that people say, you know, to me. And I'm thinking like, we didn't like you, Michelle, because you were gay. We just liked you because you were being you.
Yeah, absolutely.
And as you just said, Amy, it's not that we chose to like you because you were gay. We just happened to like you because of who you were, and you just happened to be gay.
Yeah.
And a motherfucker, a hoot and a motherfucking holler.
Oh. Thank you so much to Dipsy for sponsoring this episode of the podcast. We love Dipsy. We are sexual beings. And whoa, you forget it. I feel that's like true. Quarantine, it's so easy to forget, you know, that etc. That we are sexual beings. Yeah. But Dipsy is here to remind you. So many New Year's resolutions are about doing less of something. But why not give yourself more? More pleasure, more rest, more time to connect with yourself and your body. Get in the habit with Dipsy. Dipsy is an audio app full of short, sexy stories designed to turn you on. Each Dipsy story features characters like the real people and immersive scenarios so you feel like you're right there. Find stories about an off-limits hookup with your professor or a costume party that takes things to the next level.
Sign me up.
Or maybe a story where your partner tells you exactly what to do or you try a new toy together.
Wow. This is everything I need. They release new stories every week, so there's always more to explore no matter who you're into or what turns you on. Dipsy also has wellness sessions to help you learn more about yourself and bedtime stories and soundscapes to help you relax before you drift off. So for listeners of the show, Dipsy's offering a 30-day free trial when you go to dipsystories.com/straight. That's a 30-day free trial when you go to Dipsy, that's D-I-P-S-E-A, stories.com/straight. Again, that's dipsystories.com/straight.
Thanks, Dipsy. This episode is also sponsored by Relief Band. I literally have mine on right now. I feel it. Did you know that a third of Americans regularly suffer from nausea? I'm not an American yet, but I also suffer from nausea. It's uncomfortable. It feels like you're going to throw up. You can't really focus on anything other than your nausea. And it ruins otherwise a fun time. That's why I'm so excited about our new partner, Relief Band.
Yes. So let me tell you a little bit about Relief Band because it is science and cool. Relief Band is the number one FDA-cleared anti-nausea wristband that has been clinically proven to quickly relieve and effectively prevent nausea and vomiting associated with motion sickness, anxiety, migraine, hangover, morning sickness, chemotherapy, and so much more. The product is 100% drug-free, non-drowsy, and provides all-natural relief with zero side effects for as long as you need. The technology was originally developed over 20 years ago in hospitals to relieve nausea from patients, but now through Relief Band is available to the masses. How it works is Relief Band stimulates a nerve in your wrist that travels with part of your brain that controls nausea, and then it blocks the signal your brain is sending to your stomach telling you that you are sick. Relief Band is the only over-the-counter wearable device that has been used in hospitals and oncology clinics to treat nausea and vomiting.
So I am wearing mine today because I woke up a little anxious. I wake up sometimes at 6 a.m. with raging anxiety. Can't explain it. But I put on my Relief Band and it's literally working. Obviously, like, I'm not a scientist. I don't understand the science behind it. But genuinely, it is working. And I'm the type of person who gets also very motion sickness in like long car rides, especially at night. So I'm so excited to try this instead of feeling like shit for the whole time. So this is way better.
So this year, 2021, ensure nausea is never going to be the reason that you're missing out on life's important moments. Right now, Relief Band has an exclusive offer just for Dating Straight listeners. If you go to reliefband.com and use promo code dating, you'll receive 20% off plus free shipping and a no questions asked 30-day money back guarantee. So head to reliefband.com and use promo code dating for 20% off.
Thanks, Relief Band.
It's no surprise. I think there's been a lot of talk recently about, especially during the pandemic, like revisiting ANTM and like discussing, you know, just everything, the goods and the bads of representation. And we did want to get your take on the show now, how many ever years later it is. I just wanted to get your take on like what, when people say that the show is, you know, there are a lot of parts that are problematic. What do you think about, you know, those moments.
And for those people, it probably was problematic. And remember, it's called production. Mm. It's called television show. That's it. You know, you can just take what you need out of it, filter it out. You know, yes, hang the girl from a building. Well, I haven't seen too many models hanging from a building for a photo shoot and keeping a model-esque.
Well, you can do it.
So, I mean, but it's TV. It's television, you know. And also to make it very, very clear, I was never really on photo shoots. So when I hear right. these stories, I just hear those stories. You know, for me, if you mm-hmm. saw me, I was always on panel, mm-hmm. judging the situation. But I was never I was never the art director. I was never there doing that. So I would hear those things. I kind of go, oh, and just, you know, look, off my head. I know what happens in real modeling business. I know what happens, you know, where you are being judged on how you look and your body type, and you're going to choose the best one for the job. And sometimes the prettiest girl is not the best model.
Right.
Yeah.
Because I think she relies on being pretty.
Right.
And I think when they rely on being pretty, they work less. When you're a little bit special, when you got that one eye that's kind of like wonky.
Are you talking about me?
And you gotta balance it. And you have to balance an eye. You know, you got Nadja Ormond had long legs and a short waist. So it's kind of how they had to fit clothing on her, you know, to get the body proportion right. It's about how you're standing up. You know, some girls have interesting noses that they think are ugly, because I think for most people, models are aesthetically pretty. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of girls who have that moment. There's this one girl that they kept trying to get me to work with. Girl, you ain't never gonna be no model.
Shit.
Okay, so I guess like the show was trying to emulate the industry, which was kind of, I mean, is, I'm sure still, kind of a messed up industry. It's just like following what society thinks is pretty.
And again, I don't come from that background of anything being the norm. You know what I mean? Like just being normal. It's just mm-hmm. that I'm thinking like, just be, there's something special about all of us. And I'm trying to relate to the girls who can never be. I mean, if you look at models today, they're all over the place. Different heights, different body types. I mean, before, mm-hmm. do you hear that clicking sound?
Yeah.
Do you hear clicking sound?
I do
actually. But it's okay. What is it?
An old building and a radiator. They probably work.
Okay. It's okay. Don't worry about it too much.
Okay. So I think right now what Tara had a TV show that she created.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Tara had a TV show that she was executive producer on. Mm-hmm. Tara Banks was putting into that show visuals. You know, it's ratings, it's visuals, it's what she's done, but she at
It's really it.
She added okay. little extra. So, you know, you have the girls walking through the water. You have them walk in and holding fire in their hands, you know, for a challenge. Because Tyra's whole thing was, you have to be up, open, and ready for every and anything. Mm-hmm. You know, so what was problematic with them, you know, the photo shoot with the black face, in which she darkened the skin color of the girls, because you mm-hmm. know, talk about mixing races, where they came yeah. from. People are of mixed race. I have Japanese, have blacks in my family, but I don't understand where that came about in that photo shoot. I didn't understand it. And again, mm-hmm. I wasn't there. I was at the production meeting. I'm not privy of that. I judge the photos when they come to me, and I'd be like, okay. You know, okay. So we are, what was going on here? Okay. Yeah. And you just kind of go and you adjust the picture. I'm not thinking yeah. what's going to happen in 16 years. The whole thing with Dani's gap in her tooth, which I think was really mm-hmm. odd for people to make a big, huge thing about it when Tara said, you know, you think you can get a cover girl contract with gap in your tooth? And I remember sitting there saying, they probably didn't make it to air. But Lauren Hutton made millions of dollars with a gap in that tooth.
Right.
That's why I thought it was just really a weird thing. Okay. And it might look, okay, well, you know. And the girl ended up winning the competition. which is also really, really funny. Did Tara ask her to fix her gap? Again, I don't know. I'm only going by hearsay for what I'm hearing as people are speaking. And well, the dentist maybe asked her, do you want to close it up? And she said no. Then it went into productions. I love when Dani explained herself. It was a clear, did you see when Dani explained herself about that?
On like Instagram Live recently?
Maybe this past summer, something like that. It was really interesting.
Yeah.
And I thought, okay, so there you cleared it up. Because again, for me, I heard that conversation, but when Dani cleared it up, and I thought, thank you for clearing that up, because now I know. Because again, for me, it's my problem is if it's not my journey, I don't go on it.
I just
that's not my journey, baby. So I can't speak on your behalf on your journey per se, if that makes sense.
Yeah. I think like you only know what you know. And I think that there were a lot of great things about the show. I think there was a lot of like great representation, but then obviously like, I think that there was a lot of stuff that we didn't even realize that it was so problematic and maybe damaging, definitely damaging, actually, for that time. And we're only kind of coming into that consciousness of learning like, no, self-love is important. And that's why I think that the modeling industry itself is changing. And then that would trickle down into a show like America's Next Top Model. Like, I think that Tyra's intentions and your intentions were good, and to like try and set these girls up for success in this cutthroat industry. But I think that the way that it happened was
a little messy.
And that's like fully okay to admit, like every single person makes mistakes. And even though, you know.
Well, and it's like you're also, you only knew like what you're getting at, Amy, like you and Tyra and everyone, you know, everyone in the modeling industry, like only learned that from the modeling industry, right? So it's like,
yes.
Yeah. Then, yeah, you grew up in the modeling industry, right?
Yes, yeah, I went to school to be an accountant. I ended up living in Japan. That's my education, is accounting. And then everything I learned as trial and error along the way. Somebody said, you should model for Jean Paul Gaultier. And I remember saying to the woman on Madison Avenue here in New York City, I'm not pretty enough to be a model. She says, I see you walk past the street, you have a great sense of style. Oh, that was it in my head back then. I went to design clothes. I was doing my thing. So the things that you learn as you go along, the things you learn, the information that you gather, you can think, oh, okay, I didn't know that. And be on the casting list meant no blacks. But you would go to casting in Paris. They says no, and I thought again, and they would say, it's not that they didn't want any blacks, they had their black models for them, so they had their black models that they chose already, so they didn't want to see anybody else. And again, I would show up anyway, because for me, I'm thinking, oh, but my personality, you know, that's so important, the personality, the character, you know, you would show up anyway, and they wouldn't say no, they'd see you, they'd have you walk and be, okay, thank you, and take a picture, and then out the door you go. But was I wasting my time? Probably, yes, you know, for it being NB for no blacks, because they don't have black models in this show, or they had their three. Yeah, you know, and I said, why is NB so big? Because that meant they didn't have, they wouldn't see any more black models. And again, I was like, oh, okay, you know, no more black models. I'm going anyway. I'm thinking maybe I can change their mind.
Right.
But I challenged it and I went in it, and maybe it didn't happen. And if it didn't happen, it wasn't a thing for me. You know who you want to spend your money on. You know who you're trying to reach, and your client and your customer. I can't argue with that right now. Today I can argue with it.
Sure. Yeah, there's been a lot of change in the industry for sure. And
now it would be a whole big thing. You know? Yeah, exactly. Sure. And you don't want, and everything shouldn't be necessarily a black and white issue, but it is. It is. Black people spend money. They wear clothes.
That's discrimination straight up.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. So I mean, so it is. You think about it now, it's kinda like, wait a minute, that was really kind of fucked up then. I mean, think about it now.
Yeah. Yeah. Hindsight.
Knowing what we know today. Yeah.
Exactly.
Speaking of hindsight, I know that you rewatched at least some of the series back over last summer with Mr. J. And is there anything that you saw that you would have done differently today, knowing what you know now?
Well, there surely wouldn't have been the skin issue, the black in the face issues. That wouldn't have happened. That would have happened for the most part. Because that was one of the things that stands out to me. That's the one thing that stands out. I mean, we did plus size girls on the show. Tyra did it because she thought the girl could win. And the thing about it was the girl, Takara, didn't win, but she went on to have major success.
Right.
Oh, for sure.
It just goes to show you, what we see visually, sometimes we're not the God. We're not the Antichrist of what you think is beauty.
Yeah.
Right.
Beauty absolutely, is like everything. Yeah. People it's crave subjective. Diversity. It's subjective. Yeah.
Yeah. So you have a subjective situation that you're in, you kind of go, see, look, you know, I may not have been 10'7" and a size 3.5, 9 and 2, but bitch, I had more success than the winner did.
Just wow. Saying. Yeah.
You know, and then, you know. And, you know, once I shoot it, I'm very Sarah Paulson. Do I watch it? Not really, if it comes, and then I would go back home. So I would say, shit, I would go back home to Paris. I would just go to Parti pour Paris. I go home and that's it. And when there's some TV, it's not airing on in France. And then I would say, can I get a copy of the season of the cycle so I can get and watch it to see what they edited out, what was said, what made sense, what didn't make sense. But it was like, I was on to the next girl, I was on to the next paycheck.
Thank you so much, Usual Wines, for also sponsoring this episode of the podcast. Mm-hmm. Usual Wines is wine for the modern drinker. Each bottle is 6.3 ounces, which is a heavy pour or about a glass and a half of wine. So there's going to be no more pouring wine down the sink when you don't finish the bottle. Because of the single serve format and bottle design, Usual is always fresh. No more flat bubbly or stale rosé. The wines are low carb and have zero grams of sugar. How many grams?
None.
Usual has a red blend, a rosé, a sparkling white wine. They also have Usual Spritz, which is a low alcohol, low calorie wine spritzer that's made of sparkling wine and guava juice. It's like White Claw for grown-ups. Each serving has just 83 calories.
Oh my God. I don't know calories, but sounds good.
Yeah, sounds cute.
Usual wines are made from great world-class areas called AVAs, like in California. We've got Napa, Sonoma, Santa Barbara, and are made with minimal intervention, zero sugar, and zero additives. It's really yummy. I was happy to take not just one free case from Usual, but also Amy's case.
I kind of got scammed, I'll be honest. I didn't know that they were going to send us each a case. So I was like, okay, you like wine, you can have it. But
I happily drank 24 of these glasses.
They sent you 24?
Yeah, and they were all really good. And I drank all of them. So good news for you wine lovers out there. Go check out their website at www.usualwines.com and use our discount code DATING for $8 off your first order and try your first glass on us.
Thanks, Usual Wines.
My first gay pride, by the way, was 2016.
Really?
Wow.
Ever.
Wow.
And
why?
I just thought, you know, I was never here for it. What happened to your most awesome place? That's the kind of thing. I'm going to be out there and watch and scream and putting a dress on today or Halloween. I do that all the time. And it was not. One day. Yeah, girl, please. And I don't need to be out here screaming and yelling or parading around to say what I had to say. But then it was Chris Selgard, who was then the CEO of Kiehl's, who said to me, Ms. J, we would like to have you on our float. And I said to do what? He said, you know, just be there. Just be present. He said, you know, I think they would love you. And I'm thinking like, well, okay. Look, very, you know, the guy said it live. Oh, yeah, all right. Yeah, okay. So mm-hmm. I went, and this is when it hit me. When we finally pulled out of where we're stationed coming out Fifth Avenue, by the time we got down to sort of like in the 20s, it's when mm-hmm. I saw a lot of the young gay kids, teenagers, mm-hmm. and that's when I dubbed them queenagers. Nice. They started screaming, Miss J, we love you! And I remember waving and then I got the black girl's quiver lip. And then I started crying, the quiver lip, you know.
Yeah.
because the love that was coming from them was so intense, and some of them were crying, and I started crying. And I thought, oh my God. And that's when I thought, actually, you're living in your own world, but you're actually a little bit bigger in their world.
Absolutely.
But you're so mm-hmm. much bigger for them. And mm-hmm. that was my first time also going to vote for Obama's second term.
Nice.
Never voted. I haven't lived in America in over 20 something years. So I didn't think about, child, going to the embassy to vote. It was just me being me. And it was later in life that I realized these things are important.
Mm-hmm.
How important is this reported? How important that your vote did count? How important that you visually, you were there, let them know that it's okay to put on a pair of high heels and some makeup and pretend you're on the catwalk and walk up and down the street and be fierce and fabulous outside of gay pride and Halloween.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it's okay.
That's why you are such an icon in our community, for sure.
And again, but those are things that I said that I was so busy doing my thing that I didn't think that it was an issue that you were struggling with, is what I was trying to say. I didn't think that you being who you were in a small town in Iowa or someplace in the Midwest or some place, you know, else, that you were struggling with being who you were because you didn't have any role models around you. I had no role models around me. I was just doing me. I didn't have anyone that was gay in my neighborhood that I knew openly growing up. No gay brothers and sisters, just being me. And I'm thinking that was normal for me. It was just normal way of me to be my person. But I didn't realize that it wasn't normal for other people.
Yeah.
Right.
Where do you get that inner confidence from to just say, fuck it, I'm just going to be me?
I think it could be coming from my mother, maybe. I mean, it could be from my mother, the late Mary Elizabeth Cohen Jenkins. Here's the woman who's buried 6 of her 10 children before we buried her.
Wow.
My mother was 5 foot. I'm 6'4". My mother was like 5'4". My mother would say her exact words, if a motherfucker hits you, hit him back. But she also said to me, respect people. And my grandmother said the same thing to me. Respect people, young, black, white, green, purple, blue, whatever color, whatever gender, respect people. And have manners, because manners and respect will carry you where money cannot.
I like that.
And that's one thing that I keep in my head. And my old boss, Marshall Lewin, who, when I worked at Bert Duff Goodman, said to me, when I made a mistake, she said, you appear to be smarter by asking questions than not asking questions at all.
Yeah.
Imelda Marcos said to me at dinner, one day in Manila, she said, you know, you have to be careful, because you have so much authentic personality and character. And that can be a problem for people who want to have the light. She said, you must remember, when you walk into a room, you take the air out of the room by just being present, by just being you. And remember, it's another thing I wrote down. It's hard to be hated, but harder to be envied.
Interesting.
From the mouth of a woman who built billions from the country. So for me, it was kind of like, oh, and then Madame Jacqueline said at a fitting in Paris. So I should have known that. And she said, no. Jay, You're not here to know, you're here to learn.
Mm. Oh,
so those are nice. things that I carry through every day with me, that were those small things that made you kind of go, And again, as you say, Amy, I don't know where the confidence, I don't know where it comes from. I just didn't care what you thought about me. I was a busy girl trying to be and do me and being and doing me. Not was I trying. And
you were. Yeah,
I was just being and doing. So it's just all just so strange. And maybe after this interview, I would sit back in my head and kind of go, yeah, that didn't make sense, because you're sort of reliving it and explaining or sharing the story again. Mm-hmm. About what the impact it had for you as a young gay girl. And I hear an accent coming from you. I hear it every now and then, like an Aussie.
Yeah.
Yeah, because you try to hide it, but you can't, girl, because it's just certain questions that just come out.
I'm not trying to hide it.
Yeah, it sounds like it. It's like you said, and every now and then it kind of creeps up, and I'm thinking,
hey,
mate. Yeah, it's like, oh, it's just like, and I'm thinking, she sounded like an Aussie to me. It's kind of like,
You got it. She is an Aussie.
Yeah.
And it, because it's all the other languages that go through my head. So I said, you know, I can hear the sounds. For me, it's about sounds. Mm-hmm. And things sounds play. When I explain a story, the person has an accent, explained in the accent in which the story was shared with me. And it, people think, now, here's what's really funny about that. People think that somebody says, oh, you stop, you're making fun of them. I'm like, no, I'm just explaining how they explain the story. You know, that's her accent.
You
know, it's the accent. I'm not making fun of her, but some people find it very insulting. You know, when I said to them in Svenska, and you kind of go, you hear Sesame Street Swedish versus the northern versus southern part of Sweden. You hear that sound. You
know, I don't know where we're going.
So you kind of go, oh, so that all goes part into the head and character building and personality. That makes me a crazy person. That's where I'm going with that one. It makes you become this person. This bitch is nuts.
Okay.
This bitch is crazy. Because she's speaking, right now she's speaking tongues. So we don't know what she's saying. Because she's just nuts, you know? But that's where we went, girl.
That's actually funny that you said that you're crazy. Because a question that we even wrote down is, how have you stayed mentally well in this industry? So,
just embrace the crazy.
Jack, just answer the question for me. Just embrace the crazy who you are. Listen, I feel safe in my walls. Mm. And this is almost not, the pandemic thing is, it's not really a crazy thing for me. My only problems then not being able to travel how I used to travel. My neighbor, I want to go home. I've been home now. Tomorrow will be 1 year I have not been home in Paris.
Wow.
Because of, you know, the shutting down again and having to go. If you get stuck and they're letting you in and you have to maybe go through Belgium. I don't want to go through Belgium. I got too much shit and too much piece of luggage to go through several cities and then say, we're not ready for you Americans to come through here yet, but I have a residence there. So I just got all the papers sent, you know, so we'll go to my apartment. I'm going to guide you through. This is what I need back for the French embassy. So I just kind of go home and just kind of breathe. But when I travel so much, when I get home, what keeps me sane is that I'm in the safety of my own space. I'm not in a hotel room, and I cook. I also cook. And I didn't learn how to cook.
Nice.
Just now, I've been cooking, girl, for 135 years. And I cooked because I was in love with someone, and I was trying to cook and make dinners at home. And and then it's really strange too. And nothing really ever happened. And I'm as in love with him that I was, he wasn't sure who he was. And then 27 years later, you end up in bed together with this person. Mm-hmm. Isn't that strange?
Ooh, okay.
27 years later. You end up in bed with them and they're explaining to them how they felt back then, but you're still married now and you have kids. But yet I always made you feel comfortable being who you were. And that scares a person because then you have to reveal your soul and who you are. And it's an emotional thing.
Isn't that the point?
Yeah, I mean, so for me sitting here at home in my space, my mental place is okay. I'm entertaining myself, looking at trash TV that doesn't take too much thought. You got Netflix, you got Hulu TV, all this stuff you have going on here. I'm looking at old videos, you know, on YouTube. You're looking at things that are funny, things that may entertain you. Looking at old fashion show videos, looking at inspiration, looking at the walks of the girls back then, the girls now.
I remember watching in like middle school, I'd watch you like do your runway and I'd like strut down my hallway in Bondi Beach and be like, yes, I am America's Next Top Model. Meanwhile, I'm 5 foot. Too, so.
And in Australia, you can't be America's Next Top Model. You're Australian. Yeah,
yeah. What?
They had
yes, they French.
Had that Russian girl.
The Rutsky. Well,
the British invasion, too.
British
yes,
invasion.
Yes, yes.
I remember we had the French girl that was in Amsterdam. We had the French girl that yes. was, yes. And
well, also, meanwhile, I'm joking. I don't want to be a model. It sounds like a very tough industry.
No, but you.
And I'm not cut out but, for.
Okay, girl. Listen, you do have a lovely yes. face, yes. and you can sell beauty products.
No. I actually don't want to be a model.
That's no, like, no. But I'm saying.
True. Yeah.
No, but I'm saying. But
you don't have to now. Be like, oh, but you're pretty.
That's no, no, no. But you have. But you have a beautiful face. You have a beautiful face. You have a beautiful face, and you can sell. Because oh, girls, I'm assuming I'm not tall enough, but you can sell beauty products. Mm-hmm. You don't need to be tall to sell lipstick, eyeshadow, makeup, you know.
Hand modeling.
Oh, yes. No.
What, you don't believe in that?
Look, get close. Wait, Jack, get close to the camera so I can slap in your damn face for the pop-up hand modeling. This means girl.
Anyway. Whoa, what's wrong with hand modeling?
You're not that pretty girl, but we can use your hands.
You know what? That I'll do.
Better than
I
nothing.
Do like anonymous, yeah, and then I don't have to actually like go through the emotional torment of being an actual model. They just won't know that it's me at all.
Yeah, but I think to answer your question clearly and precisely about my mental place, I just kind of go to things that don't take too much thought. I just have visually yeah. good stuff and create. And what has happened though? Is my fingers aren't created to make clothes right now at the moment because I have no place to wear them. Mm-hmm. And by the time I create them now, by the time the world opens up, and I see myself opening up like that part of the Wizard of Oz when she lands in Oz. So you wanna be able to come out of something, you wanna be able to wear something, you wanna be able to wear something fabulous, but it's kind of like yeah, but by the time you make it and wear it, I wanna wear it now.
But I see you strutting down the street. You can wear it down there, jaywalking.
I see. Well, I just did something for prostate cancer this weekend actually. I did it in Washington Square Park. And a lot of my videos that you know, the jaywalking ones that you see, sometimes I just ask strangers on the street, mm-hmm. can you hold my phone? Mm-hmm. Like this here, huh? I said, just hold
really?
My phone. Really? That's the garbage man once. And I said, excuse me, he's looking at me. And I said, can you I'm just gonna set the camera up. I'm gonna walk towards you and the walk past you and give me about my phone. And he's like this.
So he says, That's awesome.
What? He said, you want me to do what? I said, just hold it, and I'm just gonna have you take it when I kind of feel the person's not gonna run away with my phone. I said, I'm just gonna back up. I said, and I'm gonna, when I just come in, just stand and hold it. And he's the. And when he does it, a car goes by. I said, Miss Jamie, love you, and then he looks at me. Like,
I want the people to go and follow you so they can watch you jaywalk. So where can they find you?
Oh God, Jesus Christ. Wait a minute.
You don't know your own Instagram handle? Are you serious?
Wait a minute. Yeah. But the thing is, wait, I want to make sure, because I was trying to get them to remove the underscore.
I was trying to get it to move.
No, but it's still there. Miss underscore J Alexander. Yeah, they didn't remove it.
Awesome.
It's still there. And it's not J A Y, it's J.
J, yes.
Letter J Alexander. Yeah, I had to go.
Absolutely.
And I mean, it's, yeah, I mean, it's what it is.
Well, it has been an absolute pleasure. You are an icon, and you know it, and we know it, and thank you for coming on.
Well, you know, things are shifting, the earth is shifting, the earth is moving, and hopefully we will be able to go back and to hug people again, see people again.
Eventually, I assume that we will.
Yes, and be able to, you know, but we have to just kind of follow those rules. So stay in, stay safe, wear your mask, wash your hands, wash your ass.
Okay, thanks for listening. I'm Amy Oddman.
I'm Jack Dodge, and this is Dating Straight.
See you next Tuesday. I don't
need that. Bye. You can be broken-hearted lovers. You can help me recover. Ooh, we could be broken-hearted lovers. You can help me recover. Amy.
Hey, Jack.
I'm gay.
Oh my God, that is so funny. I'm also gay. I was going to tell you.
Wait, really?
Yeah.
And you're listening to Dating Straight.